News Radio 1120. KPNW. Nice song choice.
Oh, you know this one?
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if you knew this Blake Shelton song.
Yeah, I'm familiar. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to the Wake Up Call. There's roll through the Friday where we've had everything from rain to a little bit of snow and some wind and just weather. So if you are going to be traveling through the passes, either towards the coast or the mountain passes, just keep an eye on the weather out on Highway 20, 10, 15 miles outside of Philomath. We got snow on the highway on 20 there. Nothing it doesn't look like on Highway 34, but if you're going through the mountain passes over towards Central Oregon, make sure you got your traction devices and stuff. So anyway, we have a puppy in the studio. Where's he at?
Hey.
Where's
he's already laid down.
Where's our buddy? Oh, he laid down?
Yeah.
He's
with all the toys you have in here, no squeaky toys?
No, there are no squeaky toys.
Darn.
I don't. No, I thought that one might. It doesn't. So, sorry about that. We have in the studio, it's been a while since we've had a dog of any kind in the studio, and he is on the hunt for food. Chris Gerard and Mike Burgess, they're from Green Valley Hunting and Retriever Club here in the studio where they do dog training and bird dog training and just all that stuff. And that's a beautiful chocolate lab that you've got there, Chris.
Yeah, thank you. We like him a lot. He's pretty special to us.
So he's about 4 or 5 years old, you said?
Yep. He'll be 5 June 26. He shares the birthday with my wife, and she picked him out.
And he's over here being a friendly lab. hunting dog, I'm assuming.
Yeah, he's trained to hunt upland and waterfowl, and he loves it. So looks forward to it every time I get ready. He knows it and goes down and lays by the door. And if I happen to be going with somebody else, and if he's not going, he'll definitely let you know.
And like all dogs that come into the studio, he has discovered this window back here that all dogs that come into the studio love because they have a third floor view of everything out there. How long have you been into training dogs and the like?
So for me personally, I've trained dogs for over 30 years. I've always had Labradors. So, and we've usually had them in sets of two, but this is the first dog that has been our single dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's been a little bit of a change.
So, Mike, you were former president of the club?
Yes. Yeah. Last year.
And, yeah.
I've been a member since 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And I started with a German short hair when I first joined and have had several over the decades. And I've had a few labs now too.
Yeah.
As well.
So what got you involved in Green Valley Hunting and Retriever Club?
I was watching just a hunting show one day, and I saw these German short hairs pointing birds and the guy shooting. And I actually had never hunted upland other than maybe shooting a grouse with my dad up deer hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, man, that's really neat. And I would love to get a pointing dog. And so I was probably about 3 months before I got married that I happened to run into, I worked for Electric Utility and happened to run into a guy named Dana Dykes, and he was one of the founding fathers of our Green Valley Hunt Retriever Club, and that's how I kind of got hooked into it. I bought a dog off of him and joined the club that next season.
All right. And what about you, Chris? How'd you end up kind of getting involved in all of this?
So I'd known about Green Valley for years through going to the sportsman shows and knew some people who were involved and things like that. And you know, I was busy raising kids, coaching sports and things like that, and pretty much trained dogs by myself.
Yeah.
And I was looking for a group of folks that were like-minded, that I could actually pick their brain and, you know, have some camaraderie and fellowship, and Green Valley is perfect for that. So so I joined the club and, you know, ran into a whole bunch of really cool, dedicated dog people, so...
It's funny when we were talking about you coming in and we thought that you were bringing a dog in. One of our listeners, Alan, apparently knows you, and it was like, yeah, he's bringing in his brown lab. He's bringing in his chocolate lab. He's bringing it in. And then we just got another one from Oscar who says, Mike, dog trainer, Mike is the best.
Thank you.
So apparently you've got some fans out there. Well, how did it get started, and what's kind of the mission statement?
So a person named Stan Zorn, who's a pretty well-known dog person in the area, in 1981 put an ad in the paper, the Register Guard, it's my understanding, looking for like-minded folks to who are interested in dog training. And so that's how it started, you know. There was no internet back then, no cell phones. So it was a simple ad in the paper, and they had a meeting. And so that's how it got started. And I'll let Mike talk about our mission statement of...
Well, we want to help people learn how to train their dogs. And so we started in February, which is basically the end of the bird hunting seasons, and we go to August. Mm-hmm. And so we use that opportunity when it's non, you know, bird hunting months. And then come September, you know, hopefully we're getting ready to gear up and, you know, and go out and go bird hunting, both upland, and duck season's October, of course. But so it's kind of, I loved it because it gave me an opportunity to work my dogs and let them see live birds every month until the season, right?
Oh, so you guys actually have live birds?
Mm-hmm. We have quail. Sometimes we've had chucker. Just to, the bird situation lately has been a little bit tougher, but mostly quail is the primary bird that we use for the upland stuff. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to use it for the waterfowl. Getting ducks was quite a chore, trying to find live ducks. I think the last ones we got were out of California, if I remember correctly. Right.
So, they have people that breed the things so that you can use them for training?
Yes.
And wow.
And we also use homing pigeons, you know, in release traps and things like that, that fly back to their coop. So we have a member that raises homing pigeons, and those are, you know, really useful. So,
wow.
Yeah. And back to the mission statement a little bit. Our club is family-oriented and driven, and as Mike mentioned, you know, it's really all about us helping you learn how to train your dog so you can have a really good relationship with your dog, not only out when you're out hunting, but just in life in general, you know, some discipline and things like that, and it's focused on, you know, primarily the hunting breeds.
Okay. You've been, both of you, obviously doing this for a long time. What are some mistakes that people make when they're trying to train their dogs?
Well, I'll start and flip it over to Mike. I'd probably say inconsistency. So just being inconsistent about what you're doing, and then expecting things when you're inconsistent around that, or trying to push a dog too fast. So it's much like coaching a sports team or athletes, which both of us have been involved in, you know, coaching sports and stuff. You know, it's very much like people. If you're inconsistent, the dogs really don't know what to expect, and that can cause some big issues.
Some of it for me is just reading a dog, and not necessarily by the breed, but just by the temperament, and you know, understanding which dogs are going to respond to, you know, one thing versus another. And that's part of it. You know, you got to recognize when a dog. I've got dogs, if you yell at them, they just melt. So, I mean, you don't, you know, you just got to be just really
Dad's
even.
Mad.
Dad's mad. Yes, yes, exactly. So it's like, oh, and it's a Brock Du Bourbonnais. It's a really rare pointer, and they're very sensitive. And so it's been a.
Are they prima donnas? Is that what you're saying?
A little bit.
They like a lot of wine and cheese.
Yeah.
Wee.
Right. I've been around labs, and labs are just big and goofy and resilient and just, you know, the best. But are there other dogs that are more difficult to, you know, you mentioned yours, that are more difficult to train just because they are the breed they are?
You know, I would say that all dogs are different, and you can't categorize, you know, like certain breeds as being more difficult than others. You know, sometimes a lot of that difficulty comes from your approach, you know, just not lining up with the dog and things of that nature. And as I mentioned, consistency, you know, dogs are pack animals and they like to know their place and things like that.
Right.
So just having a program where, you know, the dogs know what to expect and things like that, You know, lack of expectation can create anxiety and, you know, things of that nature. And so, you know, you just want to be steady and set some ground rules. But as far as difficult dogs, I know there's breeds that have a reputation, you know, and sometimes that can be earned. But most of the time it's, you know, just based on the situation they're put in.
Right. You ever have, go ahead.
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, okay.
That was me. So one of the things I'll say is that I think one of the biggest assets for our club too is socializing the dogs.
Right.
And, you know, getting them used to other dogs and understanding. And dogs that generally aren't socialized very well can be either very fearful or aggressive. And so it's real important. I'm not a huge fan of dog parks because disease stuff. Mm-hmm. And like the parvo distemper thing can track through forever. But we meet once a month on different properties. And so it's always at a new farm or a new property as well, which I like that. But I think socializing is just a huge part of that, even beyond the training, is they're getting used to seeing all these other dogs. And so
if somebody wants to join your club, does it cost anything? What's the process there?
So it's $50 for the initial year membership, and that covers an individual or a family. And then on the training days, there's some additional fees for a training group, as Mike mentioned, birds. So there's some bird cost. But then we also have some options for weekly training groups, which you know, is typically focused on the retrievers, flushers, and then the pointers. And when it gets a little bit nicer out, you know, people meet once a week, and you know, that's included in those costs.
Hmm.
Did I miss anything, Mike, on that?
No, I think it's, yeah.
Somebody writes this morning and says, one aspect to all the dog training is to help owners fine-tune the best conservation tool available to upland and waterfowl hunters. He says, asks if they'll highlight that. What does that mean exactly?
Probably not losing birds.
Yeah, recovering birds. So, mm-hmm. You know, not everybody's the greatest shot in the world. You know, where you're in a situation where you don't make a great shot. And I've hunted without dogs before, and I can tell you that my personal recovery of finding birds and things like that in tall grass or marshes skyrockets when you have a well-trained dog.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have some things that we just don't possess, which is called a nose.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. That makes perfect sense. All right. Anything else that we missed here?
Our next training date is March 10th, and you can reach us on our website, which is greenvalley.com, or on Facebook, which is, you know, Green Valley Hunter and Retriever Club. Mm-hmm. And if you're interested in joining the club, you know, feel free to contact us on Facebook Messenger, or you can go on our website and find my email address and phone number.
Okay.
And, you know, we'd love to talk to you.
I would say one more thing is this,
yeah.
You don't have to be a hunter to do this. We have people that don't hunt that come out and train their labs or mm-hmm. I think one person and she doesn't want to hunt, but yet she'll actually go out in the blinds and use her dogs and let other people shoot the birds, and she just lets her dog do the retrieve. She likes to do that a couple times a year just to see it working in real life, you know, action. So,
oh, wow.
Not everybody's a hunter, but that's not, I mean, part of what we do is a lot of just obedience as well, but mm-hmm. it is definitely geared towards, you know, the hunting dogs.
So has anybody ever brought out a breed that you just go, no, you can't hunt with a chow?
No, but I've seen German shepherds at Fern Ridge hunting pheasants. So that was a couple okay. times in my life I've seen that, but I haven't seen them at the club, I would say. But
no, I've seen some dogs that you typically wouldn't associate with waterfowl or upland out as well. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it can't be done, you know, but I would have to say that if you choose a hunting breed with, you know, a good lineage, that you're apt to know what you're going to get a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know, like herding dogs, herding dogs are bred to herd things. Not to say that they don't fetch and things like that, but, you know, it can be a little bit different.
I was thinking the wiener dog or maybe the shih tzu.
Wiener dogs were actually bred to hunt.
They kill rats, if I understand.
Yeah.
They go in the ground, the tube.
Right. They'll go down holes and stuff for rabbits and everything else. Yeah. So
there's a pretty famous Jack Russell Terrier named Gator, I believe, that you'll see around the websites that, you know, it's a professional trainer, has a vest, and they carry him out to the duck blind. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's, and you know, it retrieves waterfowl. So not to say it can't be done, but, you know, we don't see it all that often.
Right. Also, where are you guys, where do you do your training at? What's the location?
Well, I have 80 acres out past the airport, so that's one of the club sites.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they come out to your property and...
Yep, that's one of them. Uh-huh. And then we have a place on Dillard Road. This next weekend's event is off of River Road, off River Loop. Two or Wilkes down in that area. There's a, you can get directions there.
Right.
So we have a variety of private property owners.
Prairie Road.
Okay. Current club owners or, you know, friends of the club that allow us access to their property. But it's all done on private property at this point.
Okay. Hey, we have a listener on the line that wants to answer a question. Hey, Lewis, you're on the air. Go ahead and ask your question.
And turn your radio down.
Any ratting clubs in the Northwest that you guys know about?
Ratting clubs?
Yep.
Are there any ratting clubs that you guys know of?
Not that I've heard about.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of dog do you have, if I can ask?
Two bull terriers.
Oh. They'd be good ratters.
I've seen them on YouTube.
Born for it.
Yeah. Have you ever used them for ratting?
No, I was going to start training the pup. I have a mini that's a pup, and I was going to start her off on domestic rats and then see, but we just don't have any prevalent clubs here that I can find.
Okay, well, tell you what, if anybody out there is listening and know the answer to that, email us. And why don't you, if you can, send us an email, too, so we have your contact information if anybody chimes in with an answer on that, okay?
Gotcha.
Okay, it's 1120kpnw@gmail.com, and if anybody can answer that question, we'll make sure to hook you up with the information, okay?
Perfect.
All right. Appreciate you calling this morning.
Best wishes.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye.
I think the only other club I've heard about is a beagle club that's up in Corvallis and used for training, like, to hunt rabbits and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I would give a little plug I didn't mention, but Coyote Creek Retrievers and Utopia Kennels are also two of the sites that we use. Mm-hmm. And we really do appreciate them letting us use their properties as well as one of our training sites each year.
Okay. So the website is greenvalley.com or Green Valley Hunting?
GVHRC.
Okay. Yeah. GVHRC, Green Valley Hunting and Retriever Club, GVHRC.com. You can find out more information about what they do, the events they have coming up, all that good stuff. Gentlemen, appreciate both coming in this morning.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in, and thanks for he's sleeping now. He's out over here. I love labs. All right, have a great day, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
You too.
All right, so again, that is GVHRC.com, Green Valley Hunting and Retriever Club. If you want more information and more details, that's where you can go and find out.
Let's go to break real quick, and we'll come back and wrap up the week.
All right, sounds good. It's the Wake Up Call, News Radio, 1120 KPNW.